Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bingeable. I know that it's been a while. We've missed you all so much, but a show just came out that we could not miss the opportunity to talk about. So if this is your first time listening, I'm Emmy.
I'm Lucy.
And today we are discussing Daisy Jones and the Six. So this is a show based off the book by Taylor Jenkins Reid. It stars an unbelievably exciting cast of like up-and-comers, of Nepo babies, you know, the word of the year. So produced by Reese Witherspoon. So I feel like this show, we went into it, it had it all.
It did, but I will just say, I was a little nervous about watching it. Like, I knew that the book was supposed to be amazing and everybody loved it. And I was kind of made the, like, very conscious choice not to read it because I was just kind of thinking, I don't feel that I will be able to be emotionally invested in a fake band and I can't even hear their music. Like, why would I care about just this made up thing? Like, I just didn't think that I would be so into it, so I didn't read the book. And then with the show, obviously I was thinking that Riley is going to be amazing because, I mean, it's just obviously in her DNA. She's the perfect person for this
role.
Yeah,
Riley Keough. Is that how we pronounce her last name? You guys know that I can't pronounce people. Riley Keough, granddaughter of Elvis Presley.
She is, like, really a transformative actress. I think she's amazing. And I, before I even watched this, I was a huge fan of hers. So I was like, okay, I'm going to watch it because she'll be really good and maybe I'll get into it. And I was actually really kind of blown away. It was so much better than I thought it would be. And I don't really know why. I just didn't think I'd be able to get into it. But it's hard when it's a fake band and it's, like, music that you don't feel an emotional connection to. And you're like, is it going to sound like a made for a movie or made for a show kind of fake music? But the music was so good and they were all so good.
Well, and I think so. I don't think either of them had really, like, she's definitely said, and I think he said, that neither of them were, like, musical performers, singers. I know, I think, like, he had to learn guitar.
Yeah.
She had to obviously train to sing. And I think they trained for, like, months and months before they actually did the show. I mean, obviously, she has musical genes. Also, I think what's so crazy about this is because, obviously, it was based on a book, but all the songs were written in the book. Like, the end of the book has all the lyrics to all the songs. So the fact that they then, like, turned these songs into hits and, like, created this whole album, it's just incredible.
Yeah. And it's really rare, I feel like, for that to happen where the music in the movie is actually so good. Like, soundtracks don't really exist anymore the way that they kind of used to, I feel like. But this is a soundtrack that I would fully listen to. Like, both the music in the show and the music written for Daisy Jones and the Six. Like, I fully woke up this morning, I finished it last night, thinking about the songs and, like, wanting to listen to them and looking them up on Spotify. It's a full realized album that you can listen to. And I feel like the fact that they spent so long rehearsing is such a luxury with TV and film. You normally don't get, like, any rehearsal time. If you get a couple weeks, it's a dream. So the fact that they got so many months is, like, the actual dream. I mean, can you imagine, like, just spending your days for months learning to play instruments, bonding as a band, learning songs? Like, it kind of sounds like my dream come true.
Well, and they actually perform, like, they paid audiences, obviously, but they performed in front of thousands and thousands of people. I mean, they actually filled those stadiums to create these shows. I feel like the production, just the fun and, like, the actual almost, like, meta experience of, you know, playing a fake band, but, like, creating a fake band and then creating a real band.
Totally. It was giving me major Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper vibes where, like, they actually took it really seriously in building the band and building the performances to feel as real as possible. Because you can tell when it's fake and when it's, you know, they're lip syncing or whatever. Like, this felt really authentic, which I think really helped. And at first, when I started, I kind of felt like it was a little, I keep wanting to use the word glossy. Like, it was just sort of clean in a way. And I know Billy in the beginning is going through his addiction issues. But then it's like, yeah, he goes to rehab and everything is okay. And then, like, I don't know, things happen really fast. And I was like, this just feels kind of Hollywood. And what I liked about it is it obviously didn't continue in that direction. And they really showed them, like, completely falling off the bandwagon. And it wasn't necessarily, of course, it's glamorized because it's a show and it has to be. But it seemed like they really cared about showing, you know, the full spectrum of how this career path and success would affect these people.
I loved how it didn't, like, it wasn't just Daisy and Billy. The whole falling apart of the band was just all of these young people with all of these different personalities and different dreams. It kind of showed you how hard it really was to even make a band stick together. Like, it makes you think of so many bands that we know, and like, there wasn't just one thing that led them to falling apart. Like, there were big things, but there were so many little things too. Like, mm-hmm. if it wasn't Billy and Daisy, it was like Karen and Graham and, you know, all the different personalities of the band.
Yeah. I'm glad they made it into a series and not a movie, because I feel like if they had done a movie version, we really wouldn't have gotten any, it really would have just kind of been about Billy and Daisy, and we actually got a kind of expanded version of that with the series where we could see, you know, a little bit more of the other dynamics in the band. Although I did think, just jumping ahead to the end, speaking of Karen and Graham, the one thing that kind of bumped for me about that was when, obviously we know he was so upset because he wanted to have the baby, but when he said, like, you're always going to be lonely or you're going to end up alone, I was like, I don't think he would say that. Like, he said, he's like nice boy Graham.
I did think it was very, he just like adored her and never said a bad thing to any, and then he obviously took it back.
Right.
But yeah, that,
I feel like they could have just cut that scene out in the edit. And just
like, that, like, was just overly
mean.
Overly dramatic. Like, they had to make him say something that made her feel like, okay, I can break off of this relationship and not feel like totally awful.
Yeah. Even though I do feel like, I don't know, I was glad in the end that she realized that they wanted different things and he was just going to be nice, sweet boy Graham and wanted a family, and she couldn't give him that, and so she's kind of like cut him off for, you know, his best interests. And I also loved that we ended with Eddie, who, by the way, I was like,
yes,
he is being such a little bitch. Like, I am fully team Warren. I'm obsessed with Warren and his whole attitude. Like, they were living the dream.
That was my biggest problem. I wanted more of Warren, because I feel like there are, and I feel like all the personalities in the band were very realistic. Like, there are just people that don't need to necessarily be the star of the show, but realize that there are so many benefits to being along for the ride. And like, also, he was a fantastic drummer and he ended up not being like a superstar. He just loved the music.
Completely.
And I think there are so many artists that like, they just want to play every single day. And it doesn't really matter how they don't need to be a star, but they want to do what they love every single day. And that's kind of the benefit for them.
Yeah.
And then there's Eddie, who clearly from the beginning wanted to be the star, was jealous of Billy, wanted to be Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Billy also had a lot of faults and wasn't always deserving and, like, definitely was very selfish. So I, like, get someone calling him out, but that's, you know, when there's a band and a lead singer, that, like, resentment from someone, I feel like, is also so real because, you know, you're never going to get the attention you want.
Totally. With Billy and Daisy, the fact that it was, in a way, a love story, it kind of is the parallel of the song that Honeycomb, that they start with and also end with, which actually gave me chills. And that she's like, he's like, it's a love song, and she is saying, no, it's not. And then in the end, you're like, she is saying, this is a love song. And it is, the whole series is kind of a love song with these two people and what is their relationship. And they obviously are kind of twin flames, but what does that mean? But the fact that they didn't end up together, I loved, because that's such an easier, kind of lamer, less interesting version of the story to just have them end up together and then have it fall apart. But the fact that they, like, never really fully went there, I thought was really interesting.
And, like, it's like, do you want to be with the person that makes you, like, the most emotional and crazy and, like, feel the most, or the person that, like, makes you the happiest every day?
When she says sometimes love is just feeling peace. And that she realized, yeah, even if they loved each other, it wasn't going to work out.
Because they were, it was just explosive. Yeah. And I feel like that they, like, recognized their love for each other was pretty toxic. And my favorite part of the whole thing was how, oh my God, the end. Okay, spoiler alert. Camilla, we'll talk about Camilla for a long time because, yeah, she's perfect.
Yeah.
The actress and the character. But when she said that she was Daisy's biggest fan at the end.
Yeah.
And I feel like she had so many reasons to, like, dislike Daisy, but she never made Daisy the villain. Like, she always called Billy out and, you know, made sure that Billy was accountable for his actions. But she never blamed Daisy. And I think it was because she almost knew from the start that Daisy was going to be this temptation, but it was also going to be something that he, like, had to face, and she was going to make him great. And I feel like she was so selfless and encouraging them to work together, mm-hmm, and just hoping that Billy, you know, his love for her outweighed anything he was feeling for Daisy. But yeah, I feel like she never, ever blamed Daisy for Billy's action.
There was never really a villain throughout the whole thing. Of course, you're seeing really complex, you know, characters with Billy and Daisy, and they're not, you know, they're selfish and they're addicts and they're toxic, but there's never, it's not like there's a villain that makes the band break up, or there's one person who comes in and, like, fucks everything up. Obviously, in the beginning, you know, Daisy has to adjust to this band, but nobody ever, aside from Eddie blaming Billy, nobody really ever blames anyone. It's really just about how do these people and all of their dynamics find success and find greatness and then realize that that is not sustainable and have to, like, kind of move on with their lives.
Well, and I think it's an interesting take on a band, because I feel like that band could have gone all the way and continued, and the temptation and the drugs and the craziness, like, aside from Camilla for completely unrelated reasons, like, everyone made it out of the band unscathed, which is actually very rare for an actual band.
Yeah.
An actual rock and roll. Like, yeah, everyone ended up kind of where they were hoping.
Yeah. I like that that was the kind of ending feeling as well, because it was almost what you wish would have happened to so many artists who haven't been able to move through the pitfalls of it and have ended up, you know, overdosing on drugs and not being able to handle it, and the bands fall apart and the music gets worse, and all of these people who have this unbelievable talent and can't quite, you know, are sort of broken, as Billy says, and can't quite find themselves again. I love that they all came really, really, really close to the brink and then were able in their own ways to kind of move away from that.
Like, they just totally went out on top.
Yeah.
It was, like, such a happy ending for the story.
Although I will say, and we can talk about this after, but I did have some issues with the final ending. But which I want to talk about, but I just want to say all the good things first that I loved about it. We need to do a just, like, deep dive into how unbelievable Riley Keough and Sam Claflin are. Like, they were, I knew Riley was an unbelievable actress, but I was blown away by Sam.
Blown. Well, I also feel like I've seen him in things, and he always is I've seen him, what was that movie? Like, Me Before You, mm-hmm, Love, Rosie. He's been, like, the lead in rom-coms or romance. And he definitely has, like, a leading man quality, but I feel like he also plays a secondary character a lot. Like, he just had, I had no idea that he had this star power in him.
Completely.
His voice was incredible. I think he, like, just learned guitar for this show. He just really was the perfect lead singer of a rock band.
He was so...
His hair.
He was so good. He was so great in the dramatic scenes and the beginning with his daughter and when he's dealing with, you know, going to rehab, and then also at the end when he falls off the wagon again. I thought the last episode, the finale, he was just on fire. He was so good. And what I realized literally today, I mean, I finished it last night, is that I was just thinking of him from Me Before You and Hunger Games and all this stuff. And I was like, what the fuck is, this guy is so good. And I realized, I know you don't watch Peaky, but he played this horrifying, insane villain in the last couple of seasons of Peaky Blinders. Yes, and he plays essentially like a, you know, nationalist Nazi. He is so good, and I would never have put two and two together that that's him. And I'm like, the range on this guy, going from Hunger Games to like a rom-com with Emilia Clarke.
Me Before You is not a rom-com.
Well, that's true.
The most depressing movie of all time.
But it's supposed to be, it's a rom-com that then takes a fairly negative, sad turn. You're right. Yeah. It's like the most depressing movie of all time.
A real downer.
A real downer. You're right. You're right. But you know what I mean.
No, his range is absolutely incredible. And I feel like he's 35. Like, he has had such a career for his age. And their chemistry, just like their fire together. Mm-hmm. I was listening to an interview and she was so determined to like play the addiction angle a specific way, because she obviously had so much to go on in her own life to play this role.
Yeah.
And things that were going on. And she wanted it to be very real and not overly romanticized. And I feel like she just did an absolutely incredible. I liked that her career has been like actress first and then just like, oh, by the way, I'm an incredible singer.
In the episode, I think it was the one right before she goes to Greece, where she's just like doing coke all day and drinking champagne and like she's in the pool. I was just like, the energy it takes for just her as an actress to be doing this. But I'm like, how did these people survive in the 70s who were rock stars who just like partied nonstop? I just can't even fathom.
Well, and I loved that this took place in the 70s, because I feel like that is my absolute favorite fashion era. Mm-hmm. And that was just like so prevalent in this show. The clothes, the hair, the makeup, the accessory, everything. I was living for it. But it is insane. And like, both of our, you know, parents were around for some of this stuff in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they just describe it like, this is exactly how it was.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even watch this partying without getting so much anxiety. I mean, it looks like the most fun, but like, how do you wake up every day?
I know.
And I just continue. I can't even have coffee anymore.
Oh, yeah. You had to give it up.
I had to give up coffee. It's supposed to be better for my body. It's like the greatest luxury of my life was caffeine. That's what, like, watching these scenes, I'm like, oh my God, I guess.
Like, how did they get up and record the next day?
Well, they just had more cocaine.
Correct.
But
we have just,
if you want to be healthier.
We have started drinking this energy drink called Magic Mind. And we've been loving the Magic Mind because it's like an energy boost that's matcha based, and it has supplements in it and all of this yummy stuff. And it's just, you do it, you can do it in the morning. It really does give you quite a little nice energy buzz.
It gives you like an even energy all day versus like a spike in energy and then a crash. I mean, the whole cast of Daisy Jones and the Six probably needs this when they're trying to record.
Honestly,
an album.
It's true. If they had just had this, I feel like they could have solved a lot of their problems. But you can go to www.magicmind.co/bingeable and get up to 50% off your subscription for the next 10 days with our code bingeable20.
So I know that in the book, the flash forwards are like over 40 years. But this, they did it in the 90s, so it could be 20 years, which I believe was done so that they can make a second season of the show.
Interesting. Okay, because I hated the flashbacks. I thought it made the show...
The flash forwards, you mean?
I'm sorry. The flash forwards. Love the flashbacks.
I was like, you hated the whole show?
I thought it made the show significantly worse that they included the flash forwards. I thought it was really jarring. I didn't think the aging really worked that well. Like, I didn't buy them that they were in their 50s.
Well, I feel like they were in there, they were like 40. Because I bet they were all supposed to be like 20. 20s.
Okay, sure. Fair. My biggest thing with it was that to me, it didn't move the story forward ever. Like, in no way were they revealing anything in the kind of confessionals that we weren't already seeing. And it's so much more interesting to show rather than tell. And I'm like, how dumb did the producers think the audience is that they're like, and then I was mad. And then we see them being mad. Like, we know they're mad. We can see it. You don't need to tell us also. Like, I just didn't feel like it added anything.
Yeah, like narrating.
They were just narrating what we were already watching. It wasn't revealing any interior story. And then I felt like the twist at the end with the kid and Camila died. It felt kind of messy and all over the place. And I was just kind of like, this isn't landing for me. It didn't feel earned, really.
I get what you're saying. I was thrown off. I also, because I didn't read the book and didn't know how it was going to end. But when she was like, I mean, people ask me if I feel silly for trusting them. Like, should I? Was it all worth it? And I feel like she like alludes to, and then you realize at the end that she actually did think it was all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I liked those little aspects. So I think what's happening, obviously it hasn't been renewed yet, but in the book it's like current, it's present day. And in the show, it's in the 90s. So they're only supposed to be about 40. And I feel like there are a lot of things that they were leading up for a second season. So I think they want to do a second season, and I would guess it's like all in the 90s, and they would have to create that new world because in the book, it's like open-ended if he's going to go see her. Like, you think he is going to go see Daisy, and you find out that Camila wants him to go see Daisy, but you don't know. And in the show, he does go and see Daisy, which that I didn't love because I felt like everything in the 90s was an interview, and I liked that that's all we were seeing. And then when it kind of broke that wall and you see him like going, it's like entering a new world that felt like...
Well, it's
phony.
Like, totally. Like you said, when we're seeing them in the 90s, it's very clearly in a documentary style. They're talking to the camera. And then all of a sudden, we as the audience are seeing them together and we're like, wait, but the daughter's not there shooting it. Like, it switches perspectives in that moment in a way that we, like, haven't seen at all in that
And
era.
It, like, takes me out of the emotion. I always get very wary of this because it's, like, Big Little Lies. Like, they didn't write a second book. So, like, what's going to happen in the second season? Everyone seemed very resolved and exactly where they should be.
I mean, I think they wrapped it up too nicely. We've seen so much mess, and then all of a sudden, everyone's like, "Oh, I'm kind of great. Like, I'm kind of exactly where I need to be." In a way that I was like, "This is less interesting."
Yeah, because I feel like the rest of the show felt kind of very authentic and real. And, like, it wasn't necessarily perfect, but it also was very, like, you were very satisfied. And then I felt like at the end it became kind of, like, not a rom-com, but, like, cheesy in a way.
Completely. It became very TV and very make the audience feel good when the whole show, the whole point of the show had been the complexities of being pulled between wanting to be, like, tethered to the real world and also living this free life where, like, the only thing that matters is the art and all of this stuff. It's not black and white. It's all gray. And that's what's interesting about it. And then at the end, it was so, like, black and white. Everything's happy. Like, we're all sober. We're all good. Like, it just all of a sudden became kind of formulaic in a way that, like, the show was not prior to that.
No, I absolutely agree. And I don't, like I said, I'm just very nervous. I want a second season selfishly because, like, I want to watch the characters and I love watching these people act. But I also just don't think, I don't know how it would be possible to do as good of a second season as compelling to watch. Well, speaking of you know, knowing when to end things, I just read one of our other favorites that just came back, Succession. Like, someone asked Brian Cox, like, are you, like, how do you feel about it ending? He's like, well, you know, it's the British know when to end things.
It's true. I feel like that. It's so true.
We don't. What else are you watching?
Well, I want to start Shrinking.
That is on our, so I'll tell you what I'm watching, but that's like next on our list.
Yes, that's next on our list. What about you?
Abbott Elementary, as always.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching like a bunch of weekly shows. Obviously, I'm watching Grey's Anatomy. Just got renewed for season 20. I talk about it every podcast episode.
Oh my God.
But it's clearly not just me, you know, watching it. There That's are true. Many fans out there.
Yeah.
I have become, probably why we have taken a break from this podcast, I have become addicted. I'm not a reality TV person. I have become addicted to Love Island UK.
Yeah.
One of our mutual best friends made me watch it, made my boyfriend and I start watching it. We cannot stop. I can't tell you how good this show is.
It's really addicting.
They're my friends. I feel like they're my family. I spend more time with them a week than I do any of my other friends or family.
Yeah.
So sadly, that's what I've been watching. I mean, not even sadly. It's no regrets. Oh, and fact check. I have to correct myself because I'm looking at the book, which was given to me to read. So the songs are like similar names, but I do think they like rewrote a lot of the lyrics, which makes sense. Because I was like, how did they just make these songs into like absolute hits? Please is in here. Regret Me is in here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fact check.
I appreciate that.
Them following up. That's what happens when you don't read the book.
There you go. Well, we will talk to you guys soon.
Yes, everyone go listen to Daisy Jones and the Six on Spotify.
Bye.
Bye.